Oh, I got some feedback on our New Year's show. Jeff and I were here for 5 bloody hours last week.
We worked it. What time did we start?
9 o'clock.
9 to 2.
Including 11. Jeff being kind enough.
We were like 9 to 2.30, actually.
Well, no, we were out of here by about 10 after 2. Yeah. We had to be, but because we had to get in a car.
Okay.
So literally 5 after 2, I was like, okay, we're going, bye! I put on a gospel record. But Jeff and I were supposed to be on for about 3.5 hours and ended up extending here. And we were, you know, in the last hour, we didn't know what we were doing. We were exhausted and had to get to another radio station yet to do another shift. And we were looking at each other, what do we talk about? Play music.
Because we're very popular radio hosts.
Yeah, right. But we did well. I got some feedback from the station. They were actually a little disappointed, which made me sad.
Really?
Yeah, and they didn't like Craptacular. That bothered them. That
really?
Sort of went against their G-rated mandate for the show. So I was like,
well,
damn. I expected to get all these wonderful compliments that we kicked ass, that we interviewed all these cool people.
Who'd you get these bad comments
I'm from? Not going to say, but
name names.
No, I'm not going to name names. Just FYI. Well, although,
so
I mean,
if you liked
the
Craptacular last week,
most of the
call
was actually
GBB.
Good, though. Yeah,
call up
GBB
and tell them it was fantastic. What the hell are you talking about?
Of course, if we call up GBB any other time but right now, nobody here answering the phone because we're not
no, but
here
during the game.
Time.
There's no one here Monday through Friday?
There's someone in the station across the hall, but there's no. The station, unless somebody's doing pre-production, it's coming out of Flushing, Queens. It's a bunch of Chinese people.
So 888
as Rosie O'Donnell would say, they're going, boy, I'm going to.
Oh, that was a great Rosie impression.
Thank you. Well, that was her doing the Chinese.
And as Donald would say, you're fired.
Well, you're a degenerate. But no. So, and also, what else was he? Oh, and one person that we interviewed when she was in the bathroom, because she called us from the bathroom.
Yeah.
Then complained that we make fun of her being in the bathroom.
Did she really?
Yeah.
With men.
Well, what were men doing in the bathroom? I mean, there were dancers and things coming in and out of this. This bathroom was more crowded than Grand Central Station at rush hour.
And then why is she right? If you don't want, well, don't tell us
don't
you're in
call
the
us from the bathroom.
Or don't tell us
echo.
You're in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't ask. She goes, I'm calling you from the bathroom. It's like, all right. Well, we thought we'd run with that.
If you give us that information, what the hell do you expect? You know, it's not like you're talking to anyone you talk to would start goofing. Regis. Beloved Regis would goof on that if you were calling from the bathroom.
Let's call Regis right now and tell him we're in the bathroom.
Do you have Gilman's number?
No, but I have, I don't even remember her name. Who's his co-host?
Kelly. Kelly Ripa.
Kathy Lee just finished her stint as Miss Hannigan.
Did you see that, Annie?
No.
I did not.
Did you really want to see it?
I've only seen Annie once. It's a nice show.
Oh, really?
Some people wanted to see it.
You didn't see the original production?
No, it was a little before I really started going to the theater all the time.
Oh,
and
I
would not have been high on my list of things to see.
Original. Yeah. I saw the original.
Okay, I'm glad you did. It was
Dorothy
probably a very
Loudon
sweet show.
As Miss Hannigan.
I'm also a little pissed off at Andrea McArdle. So,
why? What'd she do?
Oh, she was just, this I will say. I will call this bitch out on the air, Andrea McArdle.
Did she pull a Mandy Patinkin?
No, nothing so bad. She just was trying to get an interview with her, not for even the radio station, but for a piece that I was going to have published and paid for, which would have been very nice. And she was doing Annie Get Your Gun out in, I think, the Prince Music Theater. Out in
Philadelphia. I'll shoot you all dead tomorrow. Because it's Annie, get
well,
your gun.
Folks are dumb where she comes from, I'll tell you that much. No, but apparently it was a difficult period. I mean, she's always had some medical stuff, and there's other things, and she was late getting into the show. So it was just more difficult to try and get to her or an interview with her than, I mean, you could probably get a president easier than getting
really
to Andrea McArdle.
I must tell you, I've met her two or three times.
Really?
Yeah. And she's really a sweet woman.
Well, okay.
Really nice.
Yeah. I mean, is she surrounded by guards and you know, barbed wire fences or something?
Because I met her because one of my friends was stage door at the Imperial.
Yeah.
Way back when. And her daughter played young Fontaine.
Whose daughter? McArdle's daughter?
Daughter.
Oh, my gosh. Well.
So, you know, and you know.
Yeah, all I know is, I mean, maybe it was on the press person at the Prince Theater.
I'm sorry.
But the press person was very nice, and I called her, and she said, oh, yes, tomorrow I'll be talking to Andrea, and I'll get back. Now, could she be she was blowing smoke up my ass? Very possibly that this press person, because she wanted to throw Sandra Bernhardt for New Year's Eve, and we didn't get her either. That would have been a pretty cool phone guest.
Oh, this new
yeah, movie? Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that would have been great.
Because Bernhard's doing some kind of show at the Prince Theater now, and hoping to try and get her, but, you know, the press agent will call, and I won't hear from her for 4 days. And then she'll say, well, I'll check on it. Over at the Prince. I'm not going to start, I'm not going to name her name. The Prince Music Theater, the Harold Prince Music Theater out in Philadelphia.
Oh.
Pennsylvania. That's where Annie Get Your Gun was, and that's where apparently Bernhard is doing her solo show that she had brought to New York last season.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll still get Bernhard.
That's excellent. That was an excellent show.
I didn't see it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm not a huge Bernhard fan. I'm no offense if she does want to come on the show.
I like her.
Okay. No, I like the show, but I've seen her in concert. I'm like, she's amusing.
You should get along great with her, because she's another one who really doesn't like anybody.
Anybody. Yeah, okay, that's cool. And she'll dish dirt, and she'll be like...
I think you and her would get along terrifically.
On the radio,
her,
yeah.
But, you know,
or I might have brought the rabbi in to talk to her. I'm not sure. But
oh, don't do that.
You sure?
Yeah, don't do that.
Really, why not?
I don't think she'll enjoy the rabbi. Because...
Too much competition, huh?
I think, she's a bit more dry, and the rabbi is going to throw her game off.
Oh, okay. So, I'll save the rabbi for when we get President Carter or something like that. I'll ask him about his great love for the Arabs. But anywho, so let's see, what have we talked about?
But also tonight, one of our friends, Charlie Gross, was looking forward to something very interesting tonight. Tonight was the premiere of Grease, You're the One That I Want.
This is the TV show where they're trying out amateurs and professional theater, whoever wants to audition, to be in an upcoming Broadway revival of that wonderful musical, Grease.
A $5 million production, they keep saying.
That's it?
Yes.
Well, because they got casting stars.
I know.
If they had any real people in it, it would be $8 million.
Yeah. I think it was $5. Maybe it was $10 million. I don't know.
Well, no. $10 million is a nice... That's already a pretty decent budget for a musical. That's good.
Okay.
That's pretty high. I mean, even Mary Poppins, I think, was only 12. Only 12.
Only, yeah. Well, anyway, so they're casting all these people, and it's like, it's really a traffic accident, this TV show.
Oh, dear.
Because, as it turns out, we're not really picking the people. See, tonight they were in Los Angeles and Chicago.
Okay.
And next week they go to New York and maybe Miami, I don't know, or Houston. They'll probably... It seems they only went to 4 cities. They didn't really...
Well, and they figure if the actor wants it bad enough, they'll get to one of the major cities.
Well, a lot of people did, and they got like really, really young kids and really, really old people. It was really...
Can they get any people like over 60 who wanted to play Danny and Sandy?
Not over 60, but certainly in their 40s. Mm-hmm. Which and so now what they do... is they audition them on singing the first day. Then the next day they come back for dance.
Hmm.
And then, if you're good enough, you'll be picked to go to Grease Academy.
Oh, God.
Exactly. So there are 2 weeks of open auditions. Then we go to Grease Academy with 50 contestants. Okay?
Yeah.
And so far they picked a couple of 40-year-olds, a couple of overweight women.
Well, they got to keep it interesting. Maybe they were decent dancers, you know.
But they cut the guy who was doing it for his brother who died, who wanted to do it. And I thought that was...
Was he any good?
Yeah, he was okay. Hmm. He was as good as the rest of them.
Hmm.
But, and by the way, when they audition, every single one... Kathleen Marshall, not as much. But the producer and, was it Jim Jacobs?
One of the writers of the show.
The writers want to be the mean guy.
Oh, they want to be the Simon Cowell of Grease, or the one that...
Right,
one.
Right, okay. Right. So they're pretty horrible to the people.
Oh, isn't that nice?
And so they in Chicago, they didn't like anybody, really. They picked two males out of all of Chicago.
Well, you got to figure, they're only, as you maybe had suggested, they could have cast some other roles, too. They didn't just have to cast
these two
leads. Well,
that's what was interesting. That was what was very interesting. I wish they did, because they got people came to auditions, and this one kid, he was 18, I was maybe 17 or 18, he was really young,
yeah.
And he was really a good singer. And the author of the piece, was it Jim Jacobs?
Jim Jacobs is one of them, and I think Warren something, or I'm not going to look
whoever
it
was.
Yeah.
He turns to me and goes, "You're not really a Danny, you're more of a Duty."
I beg your pardon?
Well, Duty's one of the characters. Duty is like one of the...
And he was being nice.
Yes. He's one of the younger...
Called, well, in other
he's
words...
He's one of the younger characters in Grease. And so it would have been... And tell you, there was a woman there who they didn't call back who would be... she ended up being... It turns out she's a dancing cupcake at events. And she's a rather large woman.
Oh. But she should be a dancing bundt cake.
But yeah. She would be, make a great cha-cha. So I'm hoping.
Then maybe that'll be the twist that a lot of these people
will bring these people back.
Yeah.
You know, and say, oh well, we're going to let you understudy or audition for cha-cha or.
That would make sense. Do, that would be pretty cool. That and fair.
And let the duty guy come back. You know. It's just the name of a character.
I understand. But, bring back Duty.
You know, and he was crushed, by the way, because he goes, oh.
He was crushed. Duty was crushed under their heel.
Well, he was a nice kid, you know. He goes, but I did Danny a lot of times. And they go, what, in high school? And they go, no, in other productions too, which I'm sure is just community theater and stuff like that. And you know, he's terrific for it. But he didn't look the part. That was
That's a problem.
But then, on the other hand, at the same time they eliminated him, they were looking at this a couple of girls. They go, well, she's really young, but we don't have any real young Dannys. Well, duh, they cut him.
No really young Dan. Oh, well.
You know, so it's
well, you figure, I mean, they're going to be seeing thousands of people for
what
two
happens,
roles.
What happens? Well, they only went through one day of auditions.
So far?
No. They one day in each city.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So they're only doing 4 days of auditions. So you don't get to see that many.
You see hundreds. You do see hundreds, yeah.
So they'll maybe see about 1,000, 1,200.
To pick two roles.
I know.
So that's ridiculous. So they'll cut, you can, like any theatrical enterprise, they will find any reason to cut just to whittle down.
Of course. Yeah but I it's not, so far, not a real big jump and show. You know, I'm not, you know, you're not getting to, the people you meet, a lot of them are getting cut. So it's like you kind of root for, you know, like you want the guy who was doing it for his brother, who wasn't bad. He wasn't great, but you want him to go to Grease Academy so he got to learn him better. He could do it as a tribute to his dead brother, and, you know, it was nice.
And it occurs to me they actually picked, maybe not for the demographic, but they picked the wrong show. Why didn't they just do Chorus Line like this? It's all about people who really need this job and really want this job.
Well, again, my thing is, okay, well, no, because Grease is the all-American show, but America only gets to choose between eight people because it's too many.
Well, it's the same way that Last Comic Standing, I mean, you can't have... And it's, America only
wanted,
gets to choose between.
I wanted a big, fat, old black Sandy, and a little teeny, skinny white boy Danny. I wanted America to pick like those.
Yeah, America's not. I mean, look what happens in our presidential election. Imagine if we really have full open elections and you have 50 people running for president. Not, you know, a year before the elections, but they're all on the ballot and it's only November. We can't, it'd be interesting. You know, you have presidents elected with 14% of the vote because everybody else got 2, 8, and 12%.
Wouldn't that be fun?
It'd be different. I can't imagine it being any worse than what we've had the past bunch of votes.
Well, actually, we do get a lot of people on the ballot because we have all those other parties.
Exactly. Well, yeah, but nobody, technically everybody could vote if they're on there. You know,
everyone can run as a write-in.
The Labor Communist whatever party that someone was on. Gus Hall, was that his name?
Yes.
Old, is he, I think
he died.
Oh.
Yeah. He was always, he was the Communist Party.
That's right, he's in the great commune in the sky.
Yes. Well, anyway, so we're only going to be able to choose between eight Dannys and eight Sandys.
All right, fine.
After
so
they pass,
Arfco Sandy.
After they pass Grease Academy. It's like, how awful is that?
Well, yeah, but, I mean, I understand having to whittle down. And
I understand. But anyway, after that came the new Trump, the new apprentice.
Trump should be just a dirty word. Trump should be like a verb.
You have to see how they open the show.
Treat somebody like crap.
They open the show with
Trumping
him talking to Ivanka and his new baby. The baby and Ivanka have already made their... Not Ivanka, the wife.
Wait, is this daughter or the wife we're talking about?
The wife. His wife, Ivanka's the daughter. She's on there. Okay. But the wife... He calls the wife and goes, oh, honey, I'll be in how is California? Oh, it's lovely, she says. And the weather is... And so, of course, he goes, I'm flying out there tomorrow, and you see the Trump plane. And then he comes and he says, you know, I forgot what his son's name is. Like,
oh, yeah.
It was something like Gold Bar or something, you know, whatever. You know, Briquette.
Donald Jr. Bastard.
Wouldn't that be a great name for his daughter, Briquette?
Briquette.
Hi, I'm Briquette Trump. I'm Bullion.
B-R-I-C-Q-U-E-T-T-E.
No, but Bullion.
So how is this new apprentice? We have about 2-3 minutes before we got a break.
The new apprentice is, again, pretty much, again, Donald's like a traffic accident, so it's always good. And
or at least his hair always looks like a thin one.
And by the way, next week, this week they were extended 90-minute versions of each
show. Oh, excuse me.
But next week, they're back to a regular hour.
Yeah.
So what is the NBC show that they should bring back to put after You're the One That I Want and The Apprentice?
Then they should bring back another reality is what
No. Well, what NBC show? There's a show that's been on a couple of years. It does fringe well, and they go put it on after it because it makes perfect sense to go after two reality shows.
Well, is it the one that you love, The Amazing Race?
No.
That's on CBS.
Okay. What are the other?
It's not in reality.
And it's not Last Comic Standing. And it's
just so you know, they're putting on Crossing Jordan.
Oh, they have to do with anything.
Exactly. Why do you put that on?
They keep trying to squeeze that show in wherever they can for whatever reason. I mean, it's been on the air for like 5 or 6 seasons now.
But I think the White Shadow is off it.
Oh, really? Or her dad died or something?
I don't know. I haven't
trying
seen
to fake that Boston accent killed him. I mean, I watched a few episodes, basically, either because my wife was watching it or because Jill Hennessy is just so hot. But when she's cutting open bodies and making diagnoses, like, get out of here. Stupid goddamn. And then they brought in that guy from one of the other shows.
Modern day Quincy.
I'll stick with Jack Klugman. Thank you very much.
Jack Klugman. But still, both of them as coroners are pretty ridiculous.
for different reasons.
Wouldn't you love to see Jack Klugman have a cameo on that?
I'm sure he has. You don't think he has already?
I don't think he has.
Well, I don't know. Maybe they just don't know how to mic him. Okay,
what
Jack.
Do you mean?
Let's do a test. Say hello. I'm Jack Klugman.
Hello, I'm Jack Klugman.
Louder, please.
Hello, I'm Jack Klugman.
All right, we're going to need you to sing a duet with Jill.
Hopelessly devoted to you.
All right, that's a take. Ladies and gentlemen, please stick around for Dave's Gone By. It's coming up in just about 2 minutes. Our guest tonight on the show is going to be a guy named Gary Gladstone. He's a photographer who went to all these different cities and towns in America. And the only reason he went to them, thank you for the sound effect, was to go there because they had the most ridiculous but actual names. Places like Gas and Intercourse and, well, some of them, I have to wait until 11
o'clock.
How about
Truth or Consequences, New Mexico? Did he get
that? Is that for real?
Yeah.
There's a Rough and Ready in Tennessee, I think.
But there is a Truth or Consequences.
Yeah. There you go. Exactly. Places like that, two full books of pictures of them, and they'll be kind of fun to hear about. So Gary Gladstone will be my guest on Dave's Gone By coming up next. Jeff Goodman will be with me to talk.
Gary's not talking to me.
No. But he did talk to me because
he's a Gladstone.
Yeah, that's right. I don't even know what that means.
Mr. Goldstone.
Well, that's Goldstone from Gypsy. Oh, yeah.
Anyway. So he has a strange town, Mr. Gladstone.
He has many strange towns. We'll be talking to him. Also, I want to talk about some bit of news that came out rather quietly for some reason about something that ExxonMobil has done over the past couple of years that I think everybody should know about.
A tribute to the Ramen King.
Oh, yeah, the noodle guy. Got to talk about that and maybe a little bit more about the Jets and Giants all on Dave's Gone By, coming up after we do a little bit of imaging. Did I get that set up? Oh, dear.
I can't wait till we hear about the imaging and then hear Dave's Gone By.
Me too. And I think it's going to be real fun. So let me just pop that in. Say
have an egg roll, Mr. Gladstone. Have an egg roll. Have two.
Greetings from Long Island, where every highway is a sunrise. It's time for Dave's Gone By, an hour of comedy, talk, and music brought to you by Total Theater, with your host, Dave Lefkowitz. You've never heard anything like it, so sit back, relax, squeal if you must. Here's the host of Dave's Gone By, Dave!
Tropical hot dog night! I shoot flamingos in a fruit fight! Every cover of day, whirling around at night.
Well, there goes the neighborhood. Welcome, everybody, to the 202nd episode of Dave's Gone By. An hour of comedy, talk, radio, music, interviews, laughs, fun, nuttiness. That's what we do. That's what we've been doing for 4 years on WGBB AM 1240. I'm Dave Lefkowitz, the host of the show, as I've always been. I'm very happy and lucky to have in this new year my very frequent co-host, Jeff Goodman, also in the studio. How you doing, Mr. Jeff?
I'm very nicely. And number 202 is the first for 007.
That's correct. I mean, last week, both Jeff and I were hosting the WGBB New Year's Craptacular on the station, and that sort of ran into Dave's Gone By time, and then overtime, and here until like 2 in the morning. Because we thought we'd be off the air by 1, and then we're waiting to be relieved.
But first we thought 12:30.
Yeah, but when I came in on Sunday, I was told, no, it's going to be like giving us an extra half hour. I was thrilled.
Thank you, Ace.
Yeah, Ace, the gospel person who generally comes in here after us.
She's a lovely gospel person.
Very nice lady. Very, very, and sweet and good.
I love you, A.
And pure.
So you're sweet, too.
If she were Jewish, she'd be perfect. But you can't have everything. So, Jeff and I, at 1 o'clock, we're looking around. It's like we've interviewed everybody we thought we'd interview. We've talked about everything we had scheduled to talk about. And then it's like, okay, let's fill another hour of their time.
But we didn't know. Well, what it was, we were like waiting, like every 10 minutes, we're going, is that the door? Is that the door? Is someone coming
in? Right, yeah, exactly. And so...
And like an hour later, we're going, wow, nothing's happened in the past hour. Because we didn't really want to start get into anything because...
We figured any second we'd leave, and we had to get out of here because we have a different... Jeff and I co-host another show on a different radio station. We call
The Big Time.
On WUSB, 90.1 FM, every other Friday from 3 in the morning until 6:30, like late night morning drive kind of thing.
The late night comics.
And we were filling in for somebody who couldn't do an early New Year's Day show. So we had to get in the car, go from Babylon, Long Island to Stony Brook, and we're waiting and we're waiting and we're waiting. And meanwhile, I'm throwing on all the music that I didn't get to play the rest of the evening. And finally, we just, okay, gotta go. Could have probably been on until about 2:30.
But we were also packing up.
Yeah, but we were so distracted in those last 45 minutes, because the rest of the show I thought was pretty great.
And we had drunk people on the air, which was fun.
We had drunk people calling from a party that we had a sort of blip. We had some nice people from the station who did call in.
Even one who called in from a bathroom.
Yeah, and then currently bitched that we made fun of her calling in from a bathroom. We didn't call her, we didn't think of her as Mrs. Duty. Like this other
guy. We didn't think of it. We thought it was actually funny that she was calling from the bathroom.
Of course. Okay. And the fact that so many people were coming into this bathroom, male and female.
That was shouting out from the bathroom.
Yeah. All right. Well,
it was
I thought it was
absurd,
a fun show.
And I thought her calling from the bathroom was a very clever idea.
But Jeff and I were talking.
And then she gets upset that we mentioned she was in the bathroom. It's like, we didn't mention you were in the bathroom. You said you were
in the bathroom. And then we goofed on it, as Jeff and I are wont to do. That's what we do. But
she obviously doesn't listen to our show and has paid for it.
But I don't want to give the wrong impression that I did maybe in the pre-show, that all we got was negative feedback. Generally, the impression was good.
Stopped me on the street.
Did they really?
No.
No, I meant from management, is what I'm saying. Generally,
the management hated us, but the general population loved us.
Oh, man, the crapulation. The general crap. As we like to call it.
But you know who didn't stop by was our biggest fan.
Pam didn't. Oh, I spoke to Pam.
Pam the fan.
And she was fine, but apparently her husband was not so crazy about schlepping out or having her do or anything. She didn't even,
but Pam
didn't
even call in. So Pam, if you're out there, call us at 888-8811.
Area code 631.
888-8811.
And apologize to us and to your listening public for not
people called in wanting to hear you, Pam.
Yeah. Several. That we paid. So hey, let's do some business for this show, because we got a lot to do. First of all, Dave's Gone By, I told you, talk radio, comedy, music, blah blah blah. We wouldn't be here without your listenership and our wonderful sponsors,
the wonderful people at Hewlett Minuteman Little Smoky Press.
Yes, indeed, the copy kings of Broadway, because they're on Broadway in Hewlett, Long Island, on the South Shore.
And they're a little smoky this week because there was a big fire right near them.
Oh, I want to get to that. Literally, one block down from Hewlett Minuteman Press, that was the apartment fire y'all saw on the news.
So if you saw that on the news and have some copying needs to get done, it'd be a great idea to take what you need. Go look at the fireplace. You know, you can drop off all your copying. Then you can survey the fire damage, and then go to pick up your stuff at Minuteman Press, because they're so fast and so inexpensive. And they even give you a discount because you mentioned Days Gone By.
That is so well put. The only thing is, the nice thing is, if you come in and you have something already on white paper, it kind of has that sepia tone curl because of the damage. No extra charge. But
no, I guarantee you they have all new paper.
Yeah. No, I'm, it, the fire did not spread to the man block. They're fine.
But I'm sure they even got new paper, so there's no smoke smell in any of their products.
Their products are just fine. And either way, you get 10% off just by mentioning Dave's Gone By It. You lit Minuteman Press. But they're not our only sponsors, even though they're beloved and have been with us since the beginning.
Well, we do actually like to rock those mortgages at MortgagesRock.com.
MortgagesRock.com! Yeah, that's the place not only where you can get a mortgage, but
you can learn how to sell your friend's mortgages.
Yes, you make it sound so evil, but it's true.
No, actually, you can help people get mortgages, and you get your own. You get commissions on that.
Exactly.
Which is fantabulous, because those commissions could pay off your mortgage.
Good. Yeah, I didn't even think of that. That's true. And you earn while you learn. In other words, when you're first starting, and MortgagesRock.com has to help you with a lot of the stuff and explain everything, you make a little. The more you learn, the more paperwork you can do by yourself. The more you earn, the more commission you get. MortgagesRock.com.
And then we also have another sponsor.
Oh, what are they, Jack?
That would be the Bible of Broadway.
Yeah. Performing Arts Insider.
Oh, I thought it was Tiger Beat.
No, it's not. Oh. Tiger Beat still exists?
I don't know.
It was fine until it ripped Roy Beat to shreds. And now they don't publish it anymore.
That was White Tiger Beat.
So
was the one with Michael Jackson on the cover.
Ew. PerformingArtsInsider.com is a place to find out about Performing Arts Insider, Theater Magazine, the Bible of Broadway and off, and dance and cabaret in New York City.
All right, let's not get big on that.
Why? If people subscribe, they get 10% off if they say that they heard about it from Dave's Gone By.
Oh, I heard of it on Dead Tone Guy. Can I get 10% off my subscription?
Yes, you can, at PerformingArtsInsider.com. And we have one other wonderful sponsor that you know quite well.
Oh.
Jeff always blanks when I bring this up, and it's his own damn thing.
I forget that we sponsor.
Yes.
Fancy Schmancy Balloons for all your party needs. And you get to talk to me, and I get to make fun of your party.
Now, what do you do in the party, Jeff?
We decorate the party. We do tons and tons of balloons, balloon sculptures. We twist balloons. We do all the foam core pieces for theme parties.
Ooh.
And lots and lots of glitter.
Jeff is the king of glitter.
I'm the glitter king of Long Island.
That's right. He's the glitter wizard.
If you actually drive my car, which David will attest to, you will always come away a little glittery from when you get in.
And happily, they don't arrest you for glittering anymore. I think that was really nice of the Bloomberg administration. But, you know, fancy schmancy balloons. You don't have a website, but you have a phone number, right?
Yes. Oh, I forgot that, too. It's area code 516-797-3229. So if you're having a party, give us a call. I'm sure it will be helpful.
797-3229 for party favors. He doesn't do the flowers, but he'll do the
stuff. But we can get flowers for you.
You can do all that stuff.
We're a full party planning organization. I undersell everything. So we can help you set. If you have no time to set up your own party, we can do it for you.
Nice.
For a nominal fee.
Yeah. For a phenomenal fee. And if people mention Dave's Gone By, do they get anything?
Yes.
What?
I don't know, but we'll give you. They
get a funny stare from you. It's like you actually listen.
We'll give you a free gift if you mention Dave's Gone By and book a full party.
Okay. Now before we get to the,
you can get a gift bag.
Before we get to our wonderful interview with Gary Gladstone, who is the guest on tonight's Dave's Gone By, a photographer.
He's a nice boy, Gary Gladstone.
Well, he has a good sense of humor because he takes his camera and goes to different towns in America that have the most ridiculous and insane but actual names, things like gas and intercourse and, well, some that I'd like to have him say what they are. But
Idiotville?
There's an actual town called Idiotville.
Population?
It was Smartville, but one of the guys moved.
Is there a real urine town?
No, I don't think there's a urine town. But there's a crapo in somewhere. I don't know the actual state, but if you, I guess, Google them, you can find. So he goes there, and he's actually
probably
a very good photographer.
Georgia.
Probably. And he takes pictures that are sort of witty in relation to the name of the people in the town. And it's kind of neat. So
in crapo, if you say hola, do you get crapo hola?
Bum bum. But before we get into that, and Gary will be all in about 5 minutes.
But he doesn't mention Truth and Consequences in Mexico.
He didn't, but it might be in one of the books. But I don't know if he I know he has a Rough and Ready Tennessee or somewhere that has a Rough and Ready.
No, but Truth and Consequences with Game Show.
He probably has it.
I wonder if there's a
know.
Price is Right Missouri.
I don't know either. Okay, can I go on? Can I move forward?
You may go on.
Thank you.
You may take two giant steps, David.
No, because this is what happened to me this week. Was home, was working at my little computer. Okay, gotta pull that mic down for a minute. And so, and I'm oblivious. When I work, I'm oblivious to pretty much everything. The dogs can be barking. There can be stuff going on outside.
Giant German shepherds.
Planes going into buildings. I'm like working. I don't want to be bothered. Sometimes I'll have headphones on my head. And meanwhile, my wife is home. My lovely wife Joyce, and she's like. And I realized there was some
what
planes.
Is she doing?
No, she's hearing noise. Like, and I'm thinking, God, the planes are flying low. Maybe it's going to rain or something like that. And then we look at it and we realize there's helicopters flying more than one all around like our area. And it just so happened that when we noticed this, it was about 4:59 in the afternoon. We put on the TV. Right then and there, Eyewitness News, not News 12 Long Island, mind you. But Eyewitness News, Channel 7, so you know it was important. From our hometown, was on the TV. Eula Long Island is never on the television, and there it was. And giant fire. I looked at my wife, and she looked at me and was like, oh my God, what the hell's going on?
It's an inferno in Hewlett.
And the weird part is, I looked at it, and I tried to look down the street. I couldn't recognize my own town. It looked like any anonymous sort of suburban block. I would never have known. This is my town, unless and this is a block that I have passed 4,000 times in my life, because I've lived in this town since I was 12 and a half. So, okay, there's this fire going on, which, like, there's that immediate instinct, okay, I hope everything's okay, we'll check with the folks, they're okay, and do we go see it, do we not, and my wife has to go to the gym, is she going to go one way or the other, is traffic closed? So I go, when she goes off in another direction to go to the gym, I figure, okay, let me...
You didn't walk with your wife?
Let me do a looky-loo. Yes, I walked her out, but she had to go in a different direction. Thank goodness.
Oh.
She wasn't going to walk into the fire. She already did that once. It was called going under the chuppah with me. But I get there, and I'm like, it's a fire. And there's just, like, tons of trucks and lights. And people, there is that thing where you want to go see the spectacle. It's not like a carnival, because people are sort of in awe, and people are a little sad, and but there's also this sense of wanting to see what will happen. You kind of, when the flame goes out, it's not as interesting as when there's flame shooting
up.
Well,
you know what that's
about? What?
It's about wonder. It's
it
about
is.
Magic. It's about, take your breath away. Can't believe your eyes.
Is that Pippin, or what's the show?
Don't you love a surprise?
What show is? Are
Merlin!
You? Merlin! Oh, yeah, like everybody knows the Broadway show Merlin. Thank you.
You know, that was... Doug Henning's second show.
Yeah, okay, and everybody remembers the Magic Show, and nobody remembers Merlin.
Because it was... You know who was co-starred Merlin, by the way?
Who? Thanks for pulling me completely off topic.
Oh,
who?
I'm sorry.
Who?
One guess. Who would you never expect to co-star with Doug Henning?
Everyone.
Person.
Ingrid Svensson.
No.
Gwen Verdon.
So close, you have no idea.
Cheetah
Rivera.
Oh, my gosh.
Merlin.
Well, that was his magic. So, anyway, if I may continue. So, I go, because I want to get through this and get to the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I get there, and what do you want to do when you're watching a fire? I was hungry. I want to slice a pizza. So, I go, there's a pizza place right next to, the fire is across the street from the pizza place that I always go to.
I thought toast marshmallows would be a good
thing. I forgot to bring the marshmallows, but I figured, if people died in the fire, there'd be a good Korean barbecue like the next day. So anyhow, don't even know what that means. I apologize to everyone for whatever you thought that meant. So I go, I grab a slice, I take a couple of pictures, but while I'm in the pizza parlor, I notice that the pizza parlor people are glued to News 12 Long Island, which is rare for News 12. They're actually fairly current and on the moment of the news story. Usually they're about 8 to 12 hours behind. If something happens in Long Island, News 12 generally gets to it about a day later.
Yeah, they were talking about the heat wave today.
Exactly. So, but they did have live footage of the fire. So they're watching News 12. And The irony of this, of course, is that I'm like, if you want to see the fire, all they had to do was go out of the pizza place, open the door, and look, it was across the street. These folks were just sitting like, glued to a television version of what was happening right outside, literally, their door.
Which only proves that people love television more than they love their
lives.
I know.
It's the context of the image that is more important than the event. It was. I just found that so weirdly funny.
Wow, what a big phrase.
And I can still laugh about it, A, because a couple of firemen were minorly injured, but nobody got killed. Nobody, you know, and what was really weird was as long as it took to put the fire out, the structure's still standing. We passed by the building 2 days later, and there's still furniture in the place. Apparently, it was only one side of the building, so I don't know if they'll be able to salvage. I imagine the furniture does not smell very good. it's probably not a chest of drawers you want in your new house, but anyway, condolences to everyone who lived there. And it is a sad thing, but there's just that weird spectacle where you're like, gosh, it would be cool if it really all burned up, and oh, isn't it terrible that people are losing their livelihood.
Waiting for the gas line explosion.
Well, that I would hope they would have moved the people down another entire block if they were waiting for any kind of explosion. I assume they had that under control quickly. I hope. Well, they did. So, anywho, a little bit of excitement in my hometown.
And Dave was there.
That's right. So, ladies and gentlemen, we begin this fiery episode of Dave Shall By with a little Talking Heads.
Gary Gladstone, and I just got back from Double Trouble, New Jersey, Climax, Minnesota, Burnt Corn, Alabama, and I'm the author of Reaching Climax and Other Towns Along the American Highway, and you're listening to Dave's Gone By on WGBB.
Welcome back to Dave's Gone By, and we're going traveling on this little segment of the show, and not traveling to the usual sort of places like London and Paris, but to places a bit more unusual. Then again, we live relatively close to a place called Flushing, Queens, so that should give you some idea. And we've all heard of Intercourse, Pennsylvania, and giggled and perhaps passed the sign that we're going into Intercourse. But believe it or not, there are places in this country that are even weirder or more weirdly named and more, bizarrely and almost sexually named than those. I don't know them, but there's a fellow who does. His name is Gary Gladstone, and he's written two books about his travels. They're photography books. He's a professional photographer. And so along the way of doing these fairly glamorous and respectable photo books with beautiful pictures, he's also going to these places with the absolutely most indescribable names, except he's going to describe them. So, Gary Gladstone, welcome to the neighborhood.
Hey, Dave.
How are you doing
tonight? I'm doing good. I'm having fun.
Good, good, good. So among the places, just in things I've read about the book, which is called Reaching Climax and Other Towns Along the American Highway. Climax, of course, being the town where?
Up in there. Well, let me tell you, there's not just one Climax.
Oh, my goodness.
Which is happy thing
multiples.
For, very nice for people to know. I was out on the road for a year doing a book, visiting 60 tiny towns in the United States that had unbelievable names. And the book, we were in a town called Peculiar, Missouri.
Okay.
We're on our way to Tightwad, which was about 40 miles away. And we stopped at a gas station. The driver told us about a town in Kansas that he thought we should include in this project because we talked with everybody along the road. And he said it's named Gas. And he knew a diner there called Bonnie's Corner Cafe. Well, we got on the phone, called Bonnie, said, Bonnie, can we come over and make a picture of you and this diner for this project, which is a book on towns with funny names? She said, sure. Come down out of Kansas City, south on 59, turn west on 30, but be careful. If you blink, you're going to pass Gas.
Oh, come on. She didn't.
She did say that.
Yeah.
I laughed so hard I dropped my clipboard. And that became the working title for that project and subsequently became the name of the book. And
Passing Gas
in other towns along the American Highway. And the book was published about 2 or 3 years ago. It was so well received. And folks who called me and asked, in that book I went to Intercourse in Alabama, not in Pennsylvania, where you mentioned, and everybody thinks that Pennsylvania is the headquarters for Intercourse, but there's one in Alabama as well. And they asked us why we went to that one, and nobody believed that there was could be more than one. Well, I did a little research, and there are, in the U.S., five podunks, two borings, four blue balls.
Oh, no, come on. Four,
yes.
Not blue bells.
Well, there's a blue bell also.
Well, that's nice, but what could blue that ball refer to?
Well, in this case, in the one that I went to, which was in Maryland for this book, it referred to an actual blue ball. It was a giant, heavy thing that looked like one of the three balls that may have been at a porn shop.
Oh,
but it wasn't
porn,
that.
P-A-W shop,
yes,
not
exactly.
The... Yeah.
Well, there you go.
No.
That was simply a sign for a tavern. The tavern was called the Blue Ball Tavern.
Right.
And most of these towns...
Where the women were untouchable, yeah.
Totally. There are also two intercourses, which we already know.
Right.
Seven surprises.
Oh.
36 eurekas and 18 climaxes. So when I started the second book, I wanted to be sure to have a climax in it. And I found an article about a town in Minnesota, which was populated with only 250 people. It had the name Climax, and they were having their centennial celebration, and the town fathers sponsored a contest for folks to write a slogan.
Oh,
celebrate
God.
And this slogan was going to be on a sign over Main Street. And some of the entries were No End to Climax, Climax Forever, Climax More Than Just a Feeling, and the best for the Chamber of Commerce, of course, was Bring a Friend to Climax.
Oh, that's good.
So,
actually, I would have gone for Come to Climax. I mean,
I'm absolutely sure that was one of the answers.
Yeah, I'll bet.
They went and mined the heck out of that.
Of course.
These are 250, obviously, good church-going people from farming community, and this is what they came up with for their slogan, which was, in fact, the winning slogan was Climax More Than Just a Feeling.
That is very good, yeah.
A high school senior, a girl by the name of Bethany Grove, wore a T-shirt to school one day with the slogan printed on it. She was told to turn it inside out or go home.
Okay. So, the shirt, you mean? No, I don't know what that means. Okay.
Exactly. She refused to turn the shirt inside out, and she went home. And the story got huge national and regional press, and I made a beeline for Bethany because I thought the story was too good, and that's where we shot. Of the 18 climaxes, that's the one we chose to do for the book. These are really kind of serious portraits.
Oh, sure, but...
And some writings about the towns, and obviously you can't not laugh when you read about places that people live in.
Like some others would be...
Well, we went, in this book, we went to Detour in Maryland, Cuckoo in Virginia, Hell Hollow in New Hampshire, Superior Bottom in West Virginia,
yeah.
Sugar Tit in Kentucky.
You're kidding me.
No, there's honest to goodness, it's Sugar Tit, S-U-G-A-R-T-I-T.
Now, when people address letters or things come to that by mail or whatever, or do they put that on buildings there, or do they realize they're not going to change the name of the town, but there it is?
Most of the towns are really very small. So there would be no particular reason, except for the general store, to have a sign with the name of the town on it.
Come to Sugar Tit.
Sugar Tit was named Sugar Tit because of the farming community that lived in the area back in the 1800s had huge families. I mean, 10, 12, 13 children, which is apparently what you needed in those days to keep the farm going. But it was kind of tough on mom. So the pacifiers that were used in those days were a lump of sugar wrapped in a fabric with a little bow tied around it, and the infant would suck on that, and that would and that was called a sugar tit. And the general store was known to be the major source of it in the region, and had a big display because there were so many families in the area. And the store was just casually referred to as Sugar Tit. I'll meet you down at Sugar Tit or over.
Wow.
It was a casual reference.
And yet, when I go into any store and I see the woman behind the counter and I ask, you know, I say Sugar Tit, she slaps me.
Of
I don't
course.
Get it. I don't understand it.
Well, you get this nice rosy complexion after that.
Rosiola, in fact. So, what are some other interesting names, true names?
Well, these are true names. We were in Beaver Lick in Kentucky, which was about 12 miles from Big Bone, Kentucky, and those that was in fact 24 miles from Rabbit Hash.
Rabbit Hash is cute. Beaver Lick and Big Bone.
Well, the names are pretty much self-explanatory in that in Big Bone it was named for giant mastodons that roamed in that area that apparently were found in what appeared to be a graveyard because the bones were so concentrated in excavations because there were salt marshes there and they were there to lick the salt grasses and trees and apparently sank into the and got stuck in the mud, so to speak, and died.
So it should have been called Stupid Mastodon Place.
Yes. Well, that's why they're not around now. We're the stupid ones.
And what about Beaver Lick?
Beaver Lick was essentially the same idea, and that is that there were beaver corpses in the area, a huge number of them, and that was from also a salt marsh and a stream that the beavers would be there, congregate there, because of the salt in the water. Animals.
Yeah, but I still don't get them. What they would
lick the grasses or the bases, the stumps of trees, or the bases of trees, or the rocks if there were any in the stream because they collected the salts.
Huh. All right. Okay. Then.
So the word lick is where an animal would come,
as it were.
Yeah. To
let me ask you, when people named that, okay, maybe they really meant. The beavers go and the salty grass.
Right.
Did they have any clue at all that there could be another meaning?
Some did and some didn't. In other words, in some towns, like Beaver Lick, was in the language of the day, simply descriptive of what we were talking
and
about.
And Sugar Tit, obviously, was you find it in, like, John Steinbeck. It wasn't that kind of thing. It was literally the sweet... Sweet treat, as it were.
In some places, they know it's a funny name, and they leave it, and they enjoy it. For instance, out in Dick Shooter in Idaho.
Dick Shooter, Idaho.
It's in the Idaho outback, and it is a series of cow camps that considers itself a community.
Yeah.
I met a cowboy who lived there, and the story goes, the cowboy incidentally I met calls himself the mayor of Dick Shooter. His picture is in the book as well.
Okay.
And I asked him how it got its name, and he gave me two versions of the story. One was the one that seems to be the most popular, which was apparently it was named after a face-off in which the fella drew a six-shooter from his belt and fired a little too soon. And that's one story. Well, he said that with a straight face. And the ranch owner who was with us during that shoot, property owner in the area, said the same thing. Also, there was another... make better myth that was named after a Richard Shooter, a Chuder,
uh-huh.
who lived in the area.
But it's spelled, the name of that town is spelled...
D-I-C-K-S-H-O-O-T-E-R.
Oh, it's spelled with the shooting part, Okay.
And we were in Double Trouble, New Jersey.
New Jersey? Really? Where is that in relation to, like...
Well, it's near... first, Amboy. I'm trying to think of the...
Jersey has the best names. They got Secaucus, Succasauna.
Yeah.
Uncle Floyd used to goof on those on his TV show, but he never mentioned Double Trouble.
Double Trouble.
Wow.
And It was named after two beaver dams in one stream causing a lot of flooding. And farmers would name fields like in Dismal. We were in Dismal, Tennessee, and it simply was one of four different fields that the farmers would say, I'll meet you up at whatever, High Ridge or Beech Tree, which were the nicknames of the fields that had whatever feature. And apparently Dismal was just a swampy field, and that's
I think one of the most descriptive I've never been, and I would never want to go to Death Valley.
No.
Now, someone named that, I guess, because you get to one end of it, and if you don't have a camel, you won't make it to the other end. It's a good name. It's just not a pleasant one.
Pretty scary.
You get parodies and sketches, interviews and fetches. Check our website listing and you'll find your faves airing week after week. Every show was unique. Nah, those were the good old Daves. That's right. So many great moments on past episodes of Daves Gone By. Now they're archived and available on CD. Special guests like Neil Innes, zany sketches with Rabbi Saul Solomon, and songs like Making Poopies. Classic episodes of Daves Gone By. Only $11, or less if you buy more than one. Add a dollar each for a personal autograph. Check davesgoneby.org for all the past shows, or email davesgoneby@aol.com. If you want to have fun, buy CDs, everyone. Yeah, those were the good old Daves.
Hi, I'm Gary Gladstone, and I just got back from Bummerville, California, Idiotville, Oregon, Rabbit Hash, Kentucky, Sanitarium, California, Superior Bottom, West Virginia. These are real folks, and you're listening to Dave's Gone By.
So, this is Gary Gladstone, by the way, on the phone with us in the neighborhood, talking about his book, Reaching Climax and Other Towns Along the American American Highway, available from 10 Speed Press, when people can get it.
They can go, if they want to see some pictures, it's easy to do, just hit www.gladstone.com. And that's my webpage, my professional webpage. And there's a little gallery there for Passing Gas, a little gallery for Reaching Climax. It's totally respectable.
Yeah, I see a lot of those. Okay. Oh, you mean, got it.
You can show it to the kids. No big problem. You can order a book there, or you can go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble or Borders. We're for real. I mean, it's a serious project.
No, absolutely. And are they black and white or is it color?
They're all color portraits.
Cool.
And each town is just one page of text. Tell you the stories. You don't have to sit and think you're into a big tome. I wish the publishers would put a chain on it, hang it in the John, because it's that kind of perfect short reading and a little smile. And
is it a coffee table size or what's
it? It's a coffee table. Well, it's a small coffee table book. Yes, perfect bound. And
cool. And obviously a really cool holiday gift for someone with
perfect.
An eye for photography and a sense of humor. Gary, give us one or two more names, funny names and their derivations.
Well, we were in Bummerville, California.
Oh, Bummer, yeah.
And that was named after a logging and mining. It was a logging and mining community in which the miners were so far from town that they had to hire a wagon to pick them up and take them to town for the weekend, where they would stay for the whole weekend.
Uh-huh.
They returned early on Monday morning. The local gentry called this neighborhood Bummerville. These were the bums that had to go to town. There was a town in Pennsylvania called Blowtown. Everybody thinks that has to do with a bad lunch or whatever
else.
But in fact, it's just a mispronunciation of the folks who lived at the bottom of the hill. The town was on the top of the hill, and those are the folks who live below town.
So
if you say it fast, and
apostrophe missing or something like that. And then the other thing is that you can't. You really can't go to Blowtown without going through Beaver Lick first. But, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. I'm so proud of that joke. One more from Gary Gladstone, and then we got to go.
Well, let me see.
No, something really, really out there.
Well, really out there. It could be Big Ugly. That's in West Virginia, and it was I met a mountain woman. She was in her upper 80s who lived high up on a hill. That she walked up and down every day. I had a hard time driving up, much less walking up, being a New Yorker. And she told me that she heard that the town was named after just a real ugly guy who lived up at a creek, and the creek got its name, Big Ugly Creek, and it was this man's property, and of course the region in the area took the name Big Ugly. She was quite a character. She had a wall of squirrels.
What do you mean, a wall of squirrels?
Well, she has a shotgun at 87, goes hunting in the woods every day,
yeah.
Brings squirrels back, eats them, and hangs the skins on the wall, or stuffs some of them. And, she's just an astounding woman. Her picture is in the book as well. These are all formal portraits. We were in Fanny and Fickle in Goobertown, Arkansas.
Goobertown?
Goobertown in,
is that G, like Goober?
Like Goober, G-O-O-B-E-R-T-O-W-N. Uh-huh. It was named by Confederate troops who were camped in the area and discovered the small peanuts, called goobers that were growing wild.
Huh.
And after the war, they came back and built housing communities there. They loved the farming area, and they called their camp, when they were there originally, Goobertown.
Cool.
And
I didn't realize the name Goober went that far back as far as chocolate-covered peanuts. That's cool.
Well, that was my favorite, too.
Yeah.
Suck the chocolate off it and maybe eat or maybe spit the peanut out. It was my movie etiquette of the day.
I know. I'll stick with a beaver lick. But, you know, Gary Gladstone, it's been great having you in the Daverhood. Nothing really special name. It's Dave's gone by here because it's named after me. Maybe they'll name a town after me one day. But everybody, go get Reaching Climax or his other book, Passing Gas. They're big, nice picture books. They're actually real serious photography books, except with funny little captions that are all true. And again, what's that website?
The website is www.gladstone.com, G-L-A-D-S-T-O-N-E. My family calls me Happy Rock. If it helps you to remember Gladstone better, then so be it.
All right. Well, we are glad to have you, Mr. Gladstone.
Fun to be with you today. You have a good sense of humor.
Thanks, man. Have a great one.
Talk to you.
Welcome back to Dave's Gone By on this Sunday night, January 7th, 2007. Hope you've enjoyed the climax. That was actually a song cut from the Broadway version of Hair that was in the original off-Broadway version. And thank you, Gary Gladstone, who traveled to Climax and Gas and all these other places. And while doing some of the other stuff at the station, I did a little Googling and found that if he goes further afield than the United States, there are other wonderful places, true named places that Gary might want to check out, including Tata Creek in Canada. All right, kind of cute. Bigadik in Turkey. I mean, Jeff wouldn't mind going. I wouldn't mind going there either. Or in Scotland, there's a place called Cockplay, which is nowhere near Bangs Beach. Well, that's actually in Maine. That's another American one. There's a list of these. They're all kind of cute. So I'm going to play your mic on, Jeff.
And Dave,
mm-hmm.
There's also a place I go to every year.
And where would that be?
Bangkok. I mean, you forget that?
Well, there's a bunch of these. Dickey in North Dakota, Penis Wood in United Kingdom, Three Cocks, which are in Wales.
Only three?
Only three, unfortunately. But there is a Dickeyville, Wisconsin. And I will pronounce it, assumedly not the way it's pronounced, but in Japan there's a place called Gofuku.
Well, there's also a big place in Thailand spelled Phuket.
Well, that is actually pronounced Phuket.
It's Phuket.
Something you never Phuket. Yeah. Yeah, thank you very much. Peterhead, Scotland. Let's see. Bone Gap, Illinois. Oh. I think I know where my ancestors came from. Little Dick's Village in the West Indies. And, oh my God, England actually has a big knockers town. That's where I'm moving. Actually, my wife is listening to this. So no, I would never think of moving there, dear. Not at all.
He is. I'm telling you. And on the other screen is Travelocity. I don't know why.
Oh, there's an Anacock, Virginia. Good heavens. In Guangxi province of China, there's a Long Dong.
Oh, yeah.
Jeff's packing as we speak. No, I'm kidding. There's a Gash in Iran, although I guess they make her wear a hood. And there's England has a thong. There's a bunch of... There's Elephant Butt in New Mexico. Pickles Gap. That's rather cute in Arkansas. There's Mount Me in Australia. M-E-E, Mount Me. For the women, there's Dykesville in Wisconsin. Oh, I like this. In Canada. And there's Spuzzum. Isn't that a great name? Spuzzum. And
come live with me in Spuzzum.
Montana has some of the best. It has Bloody Dick. There's a place called... Would you want to live in a place called Bloody Dick?
And then you can go to England and eat some spotted dick.
Oh, my God. There are places that I actually cannot say... Well, I can do it on the other radio station, but they're places.
Give us the first letter and blank out the rest of the word.
Well, T. Well, that's helpful. There's one. It's in Orkney, United Kingdom. Not spelled the way where...
It's
imagine the airline TWA extended with the first letter.
Twa?
Yeah, something like that. That's actually a place in Orkney, United Kingdom. Well, these are neat. These are lovely. Fingering Ho in Essex, United Kingdom, and Bones Knob in Queensland. So thank you, this website, dribbleglass.com. Funny town names from around the world. So Gary, if you're going to be going to do a third book of yours, I guess you have to leave America.
And he should start in Gary, Indiana, by the way.
Well, yeah, or names named after people, too. So anyway, before I run out of time for other stuff, I wanted to get to something a bit more serious and go off on a topic, go off on a rant.
Go off, Dave, go off.
I'm going off. There's probably a going off Orkney somewhere, too. But I heard about the story, and what bothers me more about the story is not so much that it happened, but about the fact that the media seems to be shrugging at it, and nobody seems to be caring about it, and people almost seem like it's expected, and so what?
Because Paris Hilton is far more important.
Exactly. But she's part of the problem because her family is part of the same kind of families that are causing these problems.
Rich ones.
Rich. I mean, not just rich, but...
Super rich.
So rich you can't believe it. No, I mean, we're poor, we're middle class, we're supposed to hate the rich. But, I mean, we have reason to hate the rich.
Go on. Tell us why you're so mad.
Okay. Now, and also, this is a week after we hung Saddam Hussein, right, who was a horrible man but never actually did anything bad to the United States and actually helped us out by repressing all these crazy, lunatic, radical Muslims that would have gone after us.
And what's your problem, David?
Well, my problem is that there's a report that ExxonMobil, and I'm sure some other gas and oil companies, paid $16 million, which I guess is a drop in the bucket to them, okay, but that's a nice sum of money.
I take it.
Organization, yeah, right. I take it too. To think tanks and to consulting firms and to scientific research firms. And the idea was to commission these studies that were specifically designed and geared to make it look like losing the ozone layer and the buildup of greenhouse gases was not a bad thing for the environment. That somehow all the things that science has been telling us for the last 30 to 40 years about exhaust pipes on cars, about pollution, about anything that comes out of oil tanks or chimneys and anything involving the production and consumption of natural gas and fossil fuel.
But Dave?
Yeah.
Now here's maybe the reason why the media did not cover it. Because really, would you believe that? If some think tank said greenhouse gases are okay?
Well, my anger is both, of course, with ExxonMobil for commissioning what they knew to be misrepresenting science, bad, fake, lying science. And, A, the media covered it at the time. And I do remember a couple of reports on the news saying, oh, are greenhouse gases maybe not so bad for us? Studies are coming in. I guess the final word has yet to be decided. So, for a while, Exxon was able to do what it wanted to do. It wanted to muddy the waters of the debate. It wanted to create a debate where there was no debate. Sometimes there is a wrong answer, and the answer is
you
no.
You're really getting upset about this.
Why aren't you getting upset about this?
I don't know.
Because, I mean, think about it. Because you have all the stock in oil companies, that's why. Well, your retirement is tied up in freaking ExxonMobil and Cherje Maffei and whatever the hell you've got your money in. So you were bitching the other day that the gas prices were coming down. Like, you're the only human being in the whole freaking country. When you go to the tank, you're upset because the cost of a barrel of oil goes down instead of up. Because it's hurting your stock prices.
But it doesn't help you because the price of gas and the price of heating oil isn't coming down.
Believe me, gas would go up if the tanks were, but they're not coming down for some reason.
Right.
Although they should be. It's down to $50 a barrel now or 60? I think it's down to around 60.
I don't remember. It went down like $4
exactly.
a barrel.
Has gas prices at the pump gone down? No.
Nope.
But this just goes beyond price raising and fixing and OPEC and all that crap. This is literally about lying to the public, commissioning scientific things to lie about the public, then the media taking those lies at face value, reporting them without going beyond and saying, you know, this is crazy, nonsense, ridiculous, fake science. And now that it's come out that this story is what Exxon did and what it commissioned, have you read it? If I hadn't told you, did you hear about the story?
No.
If I hadn't sort of Googled it or seen it on Yahoo, did you see it on the news? Did you see it on 60 Minutes?
No.
No. Where is this story?
I don't know.
Well,
I don't know. I'm sorry, Dave.
No, but I mean, we watched, like, last time we were on the radio, not here, but at the other station, when we went to YouTube, and we watched Saddam Hussein's neck break, because he was supposedly an enemy of the free world. And I watched it. I watched. You saw me watch it on the screen. It wasn't much of a video. Okay, you see him. Now you see him, now you don't. Now you see his head swinging in and out of frame. I mean, the rest of him attached. It's not like his head broke off and it was just, and the body just fell to the floor. Well, it wasn't much to see. But here's this man, supposedly the enemy of America, when the real enemies are the oil companies running this country. These are the folks who should hang until their necks break and the crap runs down their shoes. You know, and the vice presidents of these organizations and their marketing directors should be forced to scoop up the crap and burn it for fuel. That's what I think. You know,
at least you don't have strong feelings about it, Dave.
Well, yeah, the only good part about this is that in this country it takes forever, but eventually the stink comes out. It's like Joseph McCarthy can be the biggest hero, tail gunner Joe, go after those communists, control Hollywood in the 1950s, but within, what was it, a matter of weeks even, he went from being this incredibly powerful and scary politician to a laughable alcoholic clown. It happened after he ended up ruining and disrupting hundreds of lives. But eventually, somehow, something happens in America. They get smart 2 years too late. It's exactly what happened in 2006 with the elections. Should have happened in 2004. Everybody should have known in 2004 that Iraq was not going well, that George Bush lied about Iraq, that gas and oil prices were going way up, not down, and that his interests were only in the oil concerns. I mean, every single aspect of the Bush administration was going wrong, except perhaps the stock market, and to some level parts of the economy for the rich.
No, yeah.
And America re-elects the man.
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, for who they re-elected him because he's tough on terrorism. Meanwhile, the worst and only
and
terror attack.
And they were afraid of gay marriage.
And then they were afraid, yes, the right-wing conservative gay marriage thing. And again, they thought he was keeping America safe because another terrorist attack didn't happen, even though he was on duty for the first one. So how could America have been so unbelievably freaking stupid?
Well, as he said, mission accomplished.
Well, the real mission was accomplished a couple of months ago when we voted most of the Republicans out of office and changed regime to an extent here. It took too long,
fact,
but eventually
caught on. Did you hear what Nancy Pelosi said publicly today as it came out?
Yes.
She said that she is not taking off the table the fact that she wants to raise taxes on the wealthy to give tax breaks to the middle class. Which is kind of interesting because she put it out here. Well, yeah. Well, she put it right out in front of the public. So Bush, it'll be known that Bush is going to be the one. He has to veto it.
Right. Well, I mean, what does it matter what he does? He's a lame duck. He's a lame dick is basically what he is.
So what he does reflects on the Republican Party, too.
Well, yeah. But that's the only ace that the Republican Party has up its hole for 2008. Did I just say they have an ace up their hole?
Yes.
Shows where my mind is.
It would be up their sleeve, Dave.
No, it would be up their hole, let me tell you. But that's the ace. They can say, well, Bush did this and Bush did that, and Bush and Cheney and Condoleezza and Colin Powell and all these animals, they're gone. The Republican administration, we're going in a new direction. We saw the Democrats were unhappy. You were all unhappy in 2006. We got
they're
the message.
They're going to be kinder and gentler.
Yeah. Yeah, we're on a new page. Okay, we get it. We get it. And then that's how they regroup, without any real sense of responsibility for the screwing up of America that they've done for the past 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
How nice. How nice. Anyway, you know what would be nice? To do a little more station business and then do our outro stuff. Jeff Goodman is here with me, Dave Lefkowitz on Dave's Gone By. Do not.
Don't change that dial.
Rock on mortgages, indeed. Thank you so much to MortgagesRock.com for the continued support for this wonderful program, Dave's Gone By. Thank you also to Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine, the Bible of Broadway. Everything you want to know about Broadway, off-Broadway, and all performing arts in Manhattan. You know what? Go to PerformingArtsInsider.com and find out more, or call 516-295-1511 and hear more about it. You let Minuteman Press, we mentioned them, the copy kings of Broadway. No smoke damage at all. All your pages and bindings will come out absolutely perfect. 516-569-5577 for you let Minuteman Press. And one more plug for Fancy Schmancy Balloons, please.
Call them.
Yeah, why should people call them?
Because they're having a party.
Oh, really? Are they? What kind of party? No, they're creating a party
any
for you.
Party.
Yeah. And you do balloons, and you do centerpieces, and people should call what number?
516-797-3229.
One more time.
516-797-3229.
Very nice. And let's remind people of a couple of shows that they can hear on this radio station, including Swing City Sam, Sunday nights at 9. It's actually our good friend Vic, but for some reason he calls himself Sam. It's so confusing.
He's not Vic Fusco anymore?
He is Vic Fusco, but he calls himself Swing City Sam. Don't ask me why. He likes to go into these different monikers, but it's Swing City. It's an hour of swing music. You can hear it every Sunday night at 9 on WGBB AM 1240. You can also hear Joyce Keller, the radio psychic, Wednesday nights at 11, same radio station, Joyce Keller, a good supporter of this program. And let's see,
And she didn't psychically call us on the New Year's
She thing. Did not. That was my big disappointment. I got an email, a Happy New Year email from her, but she...
Did she tell you what she psychically sees for 2007?
No,
You have to email her back, I want to know.
Yeah, well... I shouldn't have to email her back. She should know that I'm thinking this and teleport to my brain what her answer would be. So anyway, what else? Want to do a couple of thank yous before we get
Thanks,
through?
Thanks, Joyce.
Thank you, my beloved wife, Joyce. She's got 2 more weeks till D-Day. That's the day that her dissertation is kaput, finished. Not kaput. It's finished. It's fine. It's fair to God willing.
And it'll be published.
Well, technically, yeah. It goes in and is official. So love to her and best wishes and best of luck to my beloved wife, Joyce. I want to thank Gary Gladstone. Go to gladstone.com to get copies of his books, Passing Gas and Other Towns on the American Highway, and Reaching Climax and Other Towns on the American Highway. They're both nice books. They're nice. They're small coffee table books, but they're pretty, and you can see samples of the photography on gladstone.com.
Makes the perfect gift for 2007.
Exactly. A couple of other reminders. Don't forget to catch Vintage Dave's Gone By every Thursday and Saturday night at 11 on dfsxradio.com. That's a portal on live365.com. If you don't even remember all of that, go to my website, davesgoneby.org. And again, there are two different episodes every week. Classic vintage episodes of Dave's Gone By, Thursday and Saturday night at 11. And if you can still hear the a bunch of interviews I did with Mike Shimeri. He called into our New Year's show.
Yes,
that was real nice of him. Nice guy. So he's going off the air at WCWP in a week or two. He's on CW Post Web Radio. Did a couple of interviews with me, including one about two or three weeks ago. They're all still there, streaming on his website. So go give them a listen. It's MikeShimeri.com. Mike, C-H-I-M-E-R-I. .com. And if you want to hear more of Jeff and me, and why wouldn't you, catch us when? Jeff Goodman?
Friday mornings, 3 in the morning.
Until 6:30 a.m.
Ooh.
The show is called The Big Time.
You know, we're better than sleep.
Oh, we're so much better than sleep. Or if you are sleeping and you want to get up real early, catch us then.
Well, you can go to the website, and we are we'll be streaming on the website all week.
Right, yeah. In fact, if you want to catch currently, you can hear still our New Year's show for another day because we were on last Monday morning, early morning for New Year's Day. So if you have a couple more hours, you can catch our New Year's show.
And if you missed that, you can catch our last Friday morning's episode.
Right. What you do is you go to the program grid on WUSB.FM, click at the time frame that we were on, and you'll hear us. And, you know, from 7 days from when we aired. Now,
you can listen for 3.5 straight hours.
Yeah, it's really cool. And we will be back there live, not this Friday, but next Friday, okay, on the Big Time. That's on WUSB. But Jeff and I will be back here on WGBB next week, January 14th, with the 203rd edition of Dave's Gone By. So until then, don't miss your days going by. This is Dave Lefkowitz.
And Jeff Goodman.
And whether you live in Podunk, Pittsburgh, Pittsfield, Patagonia, Pavonia Avenue, Gas, Climax,
or Scott Run, Pennsylvania,
or Toadsuck, Mooneyville, Beaver Lick, Dick Sugar, or Babylon, we wish you a happy, healthy 2007. Good night.
And gone by.
Is your hometown? This is your hometown.